the message today. But if you would go to 2 Kings, now for those of you that haven't been reading your Bible as you should, hopefully this is new to you, and those of you that isn't new, just act like it is new, okay? I want you to come to this with a fresh perspective. So hold on to that, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 37. But let's take a journey before we get there. We've got to get that God is love. Okay, now this is going to be a little lighter than what I normally share, but I want you to go on this journey and understand that love is who God is. See, here's the problem. Oftentimes we say that love is an attribute of God. Wrong, not true. Yes, obviously we could say it's an attribute, but let me tell you, church, today, it is not just an attribute, it is who God is. Well, what do you mean? Let me tell you, it's not just what he does. See, oftentimes we see love as an action, and it is, biblically speaking, it's an action, but it's been enacted since the beginning of time, meaning it was enacted when there was just the Trinity. Okay, so let's go even further. See, it's not just who he is, it is his identity. Well, what does that mean? Let's go past. We have to understand that God is an eternal being. We have to just have faith. Many of us struggle with that. We say, well, there had to be a beginning. There had to be a, you know what? One day when you meet him, you will understand that, and we will get all of our questions answered. Praise God for that day. But right now, we've got to know and have faith that from the beginning, okay, he's an eternal being, that there was a love fest going on. Y'all ever been in a love fest? You're hesitant to say that, right? Okay, I know, because nowadays, this isn't when I was a kid. You know, we could say love fest and we meant the church, but now there's a lot of other love fests, but it's supposed to be us together in relationship with one another because we're one in Christ, right? There is oftentimes, and I like to say this because it's exciting, but all of our kids express love differently. Hazel's much like me. She likes to, just forget it. But anyway, she likes to kiss on people. You know what I'm saying? I know it's coronavirus and all that, but like this morning she came in and she grabbed my hand and she said, Daddy, and she kissed my hand. And I said, oh gosh, coronavirus. I don't know who, what. But anyway, she just can't, and you got to let her work it out. You got to let her do the kissing and the hugging, and she hugs and she snuggles and she says bear and stuff like that. If you don't let her work it out, she goes back rejected, and then you got to come back and make it right. So you just let her work it out, right? And enjoy it while you can, because it ain't always going to be like that. And so one day, they won't want nothing to do with you. And so I enjoy that, but it just feels different. There's something about it. When she comes and wants to do that, I don't know how to explain that feeling. Let me tell you, when we understand that God is an eternal being, we know that if he is love, then guess what's been around for all time? Love. The problem is that we have such a hard time getting God's love and understanding it. See, this is the kind of love that is an eternal love that if you look in John chapter 5, verse 17, what did Jesus say? This is a significant, we wash over this scripture. But Jesus said, man, God the Father was working until now. And now I pick up the torch and I will go from here. Now, you say, well, what does that have to do with love? Well, theologically speaking, when you translate it, there was one mind just going from God the Father to Jesus. Meaning Jesus loved the Father so much that the will of the Father, he just took the baton here on earth and said, I'm going to keep on going because I love him so much. I want to see his will come to be. Now that was Jesus making a choice. Why? Because they had been connected for all time. In fact, when we see Jesus coming to earth, this is like the first time that we biblically speaking, understand them being separate. Isn't it hard, church, when we have people that we love and we know it's time to think about it? Many of you are about to face your student going on to college or going on to something. I mean, that is a difficult moment. Let's just be honest. But Jesus said, the Father worked until now, and I'm getting to work now. Why? Well, because he understood that true connection, true following through is huge. I'll be happy if my kids will take on my faith. I'm not assured that they will, but I know the scripture says that what we teach them now, they're going to hold on to, so I'm going to hold on to that scripture. We as parents should hold on to that, but imagine if our children who are in Christ just go from to, you know what, my God the Father, I'm just going to live out that. See, this is the kind of relationship that they had. How in the world do we know God's love? Church, we should know it because it's been before. It's been all the way since the beginning. God was in this Trinity and they were in a love fest. They loved each other. They loved each other in such a way that when Jesus came, he just picked up where the Father left off and said, I love him enough that I'm going to. They're co-equal persons, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And we say, well, how do we know? Church, we've got to get to the place where we just know. And that it's not based on what he does. It's just based on who he is. See, the problem is in the church, we've confused it with what he does. Well, he loves me. No, it's just who he is. And so if it's who he is, he's always working for us. See, when we're with him, he's always working for us. When we step away from him, then I don't know what happens there, and that's another Sunday, but today we're going to focus on just this. So I want you to think about feelings for a second. And I don't know, I felt more confident in first service when I look out, but I don't know where you all are spiritually. But I feel like if you're here today, or you're online today, you know God. You know his love. Maybe you don't like the situation you're in today. Maybe you don't like the circumstances. Maybe you don't like the health. Maybe you don't like what's happening around you. But let me tell you, I believe that if you're here or online today, there is some reason that you're here. And that's because you know that God isn't just about love. He is love. And so he's drawing you unto himself. And so I'm sorry, there's some feeling to that. And I want you to take a journey. A personal journey today. Get ready. Are you all relaxed? Did you eat a good breakfast? If you're home, get a snack. This is your chance, because let me tell you, we're going to go on a journey here, and we're going to take our time. I want you to think about personally. So don't think about me or the church, or think about you personally. Think about the Lord when he raised you up, when he took you from that grave and said, no longer are you going to live in darkness, and you embraced him. Think about that moment. Think about that time of salvation. What was that experience like? Think about what he raised you from, how he saved you, how he picked you up, how he turned you around. And I hope that even today, no matter where you are or what you're living in, that if you think on those things, it's going to make you shout.
When I think about the Lord.
Come on, church, think. How he has moved in your life before.
Me,
how you know he that he is love.
Me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost. How he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around. How he placed my feet on solid ground. It makes me wanna shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise. It makes me wanna shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise.
Come on, take a moment and just praise him. Thank him. Think about those moments and just lift his name right now. Say, you know what, God, I know that you worked in my life. I know you brought me through. I know that you're lifting me up. I know that you are love. It's just not what you do sometimes. It's who you are. Embrace that today. He is love.
When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, and he placed my feet on solid ground.
We're going to call it today Throwback Sunday. But church, you know See, I could stand here all day and give you all the theological reasons on why you should know, why the Bible tells us that, how many things they've unearthed out of the ground on why we should believe. But church, it's got to go beyond that. You've got to just know that you know that you know. You've got to sometimes reflect back and remember. Think about some of the scriptures in the Word. And I want you to start shifting your mind here, because we're going to go on a journey here that's a little different. I want you to think about the times when we don't ask and God shows His love anyway. You know that oftentimes He's showing His love and we don't say a word. See, when you're in a love fest, you don't have to. When you're like, you don't have to. Man, it killed me. I'm going to go on a side note. But when the media got all worked up over Tom Brady's son giving his dad a kiss, I just want to like, what in the world? Why not? Who cares? It wasn't like they did it on video. What does it matter? See, I don't have to prompt. I don't have to say to Hazel, you know, come give me a no. She just does because we just love each other. Church, there is something about God's love that he starts working. He starts moving. And what's phenomenal is if we'll just stay in that and just know that we know that we know that that's who He is, He's just going to start. And today, we're going to talk about Elisha, but we could look at Paul and Silas. They didn't ask, but God was there. We could look throughout all the scripture, and there's places where people didn't ask. They were okay with the tough spot they were in because they knew God was with them. And so they just knew that God loved them and that, hey, it ain't great today, but you know what? He's still with me. And then God came down and said, I like that. I'm going to move in that. I'm going to work in that. Because there's some love coming out of that person that's directed straight to me.
My Jesus, I love Thee. I know that Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Savior, art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
You know, when we move sin out of the way, it opens up the door for God's love to come in even deeper. All right, let's grab your Bibles if you've got them, if you don't, if it's on your phone. But out of honor for the Lord, I'm going to have you stand twice today because we're going to read half now and half later. And so if you would stand for the reading of God's Word, we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 4, starting in verse 8, and we are going to go all the way to verse 17. And then later on, we're going to kind of finish out. Now, if you know the finishing out of this, put that out of your mind. I want you to just live in this moment, live in this scripture. We'll get to the end of it as we come along. But let's start our reading here. One day, Elisha. Now, most of you, you know, we think of Elijah. Church, I'm telling you, when Elijah passed on to Elisha, if you were to just go list by list and compare, you will find out that Elisha did a lot more than Elijah. Elisha had a lot of time. He did a lot of things. If you study him, you will be shocked at how much God used him. And so let's start here. One day, Elisha went on to Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived, who urged him to eat some food. Don't you love that? Now, if you translate it, guess what it translates to? She pushed, urged him to eat some food. That's a deep translation, isn't it? Now, many of you, you know, we wait for a lightning bolt because we want God to say we should. Well, here comes a woman that just says, he's hungry and he needs some. Oh, gosh, okay. At home, they said it. All right, and so whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat food. And she said to her husband, "Behold, now I know that this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way." Here's what's significant here, church. When you translate it, she recognizes that he's going back and forth doing the will of God. Nobody told her. She just knew. She was drawn to God's people, and she saw him going back and forth. It was continual. It was all the time. She said to her husband — her husband, by the way, is much older than her, and she kind of is the boss. So, ladies, you should be happy here. This is like a story of I don't know what, but I'm telling you, she's a powerful woman of God, and she is dictating because she's what? Connected to God. And she's dictating here what's happening because she is sensing something from the Lord. "Let us make a small room on the roof." Church, this room is significant, okay? It started out with she was just prompted by God's love, and she said, "You know what? This man is continually serving God. We need to build him a room so he's not laying outside our door all by himself out there in the dark as he does the work of the Lord. So let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put for him," very similar to our rooms, right? "A bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there. One day he came there, and he turned into the chamber and rested there, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Call the Shunammite.' When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, 'Say now to her, see, you have taken all this trouble for us. What is to be done for you? Would you have a word spoken on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' She answered." Now, I love this. "I dwell among my own people." You know what that actually means? She said, "I'm at peace with God. I'm in relationship with God, and that's enough." Whew. Are y'all awake? Because you know what that's about to tell us, right? Because we want from God instead of just — this is significant. This woman is wise. "And he said, 'What then is to be done for her?' 'Well, I found out she has no son, and her husband is old.' He said, 'Call her.' And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway, and he said, 'At this season, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son.' And she said, 'No, my Lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant.'" Come on now, here's a wise woman. She says, "Wait a minute, I'm old, my husband's even older. Don't lie to me, I'm good right now. God and I are good, my life is good, I'm feeding you, I built a room, you didn't even ask for it, I just listened to God. So don't lie to me." "But the woman conceived, and she bore a son about that time the following spring, just as Elisha had said to her." God, right now, bless the reading of your word. Anoint it, Lord. Let these words be yours and not mine. God, come against the enemy. Speak to our hearts today. Bring us comfort and peace, and let us know that you are love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, there was no ask. Now, Tracina and I and Nick and others that have been around the community, not so much recently, but when we sat down with people and said, "Here's what we're going to do," I kind of shy away from the end of the presentation. You know, it's all good and what we're going to do for the community. And they know and we know that the reason we're there is to ask for what? Money. Good. You're all with me. You're back awake. So you ask for money. Well, I don't do that well, and they can attest to that. And so I just want to go out and hope that the Lord, you know, I didn't say it, but God can do it. And oftentimes they would say, as the CEO of community said, "Well, what's the ask?" And I'm like, "Well, somebody else, you want to take this part? You can, right? You can take this part. I don't want to. What's the ask?" You know what? This wise Shunammite woman didn't have an ask. She had a heart full of love. She had a heart that understood the love of God and said, "If I just live and step in that, I don't need anything but to serve God." And he came and said, "You know what? You haven't asked for anything. You haven't. So I'm just going to, let's find out what she needs." The servant finds out and she says, "Well, wait a minute. I'm really good. I don't need this." Now, you've got to get that, because she didn't ask for this. She just wanted to serve. Church, if we would just start serving and giving and loving and not ask for anything, guess what kind of measure God would pour out in your life, in the lives around you, in the life of the church, in the life of the community, if we would just start acting in love with no... But see, that's hard for us. It's hard for us to hold on to. But somehow this woman was so in tune with God that she just knew the need of God's chosen man, prophet. Remember, prophets of that day, they were what? They were the living representation of who? God. They spoke for God. They shared for God. And so we see here, man, how sensitive are we to the prompting of the Spirit of God? Do we have to have a committee meeting? Do we have to get together? Do we have to call our spouse? Do we have to call our loved one? Do we have to say to our boss, you know, I think that we need to show love. This person's hurting. What should we do? Well, let's get together. She didn't do any of that. In fact, she just said, look, husband, get the room together. See, how hard is it really to just act in love? If God is love and he's in us and his Spirit's actively moving, then we become love. But see, oftentimes we contemplate instead of act. Oftentimes we say, after we contemplate, we've got all these reasons why. We have the pros and the cons. We're taught to do that. I mean, my dad and I, he taught us before you bought a vehicle, you've got to look at the, and you've got to understand we live where snow is, and so if you get that, there's certain months that, I mean, we did all those things. It's good teaching. I don't know about it being good teaching in the kingdom of God. Because what happens is then we look at the cons and say, these are all the things we should worry about if we step into God. And then all of a sudden, we worry about things that half the time never even come to be. Have you ever worried about something and it doesn't come to be? You should say amen there, because I think all of us have done it. We make it this big and it's only this big, and all of a sudden it's this big, but it doesn't have to be. We don't see this come out of who she is. You say, Pastor, where are you going with this? Well, she actually begged the prophet and said, I get it. You're always here. You're working hard. I get it. You need to eat. You need to have somewhere to stay. I know what you're doing. She didn't have to have a lightning bolt or a something come down and just say, this is the time. And she just kind of worked out of love. She took a sign, and man, it didn't just stay as an idea. She went and did it. Think about it. It's a privilege. She saw it as a privilege. See, she saw this man of God as God's representation and said, it's a privilege to get my servants to get up there and build a room for God, to give him space in my life. What are we building in our lives to provide space for God? See, we have to know first that he is love, and that we know that we are loved. And I don't know, I think some of us, if we really think about it, we're thinking that God is thinking about our next hernia and trying to give us our next hernia. Or, you know what, every time we have a bad day, we think that God was up there saying, well, you know what, what's today's bad day going to look like? And he gives it to us. And see, if you have that mindset that every bad thing that comes your way is because God was sitting up there conniving it for you, then you have a long way to go. But it's okay, because we're going to get to the other half. And you know what? There is sometimes where things come our way and we say, God, where are you? What's happening? I have lived this way. I have stepped this way. I have. And that's okay. She didn't ask. Elisha didn't ask. But God moved anyway. And she stood at the door. Now, we're going to get theological here. And so I need you to remember the room. I need you to remember the door. I need you to remember that there was no ask in any of this. And let's get to the sad but enlightening part of this. The son dies. You got your Bibles? Just say yes. And so grab it. If it's on your phone, if it's otherwise, why don't you stand, give you a little exercise today. If you're home, why don't you stand up and join us in the reading of God's Word. We're going to start in 18. Now, I told you, if you already know this event, then you already were disappointed before we got started. But think about this. When the child had grown, and this is a grown man, okay? Grown men out there, say amen. Okay, hopefully at home they said it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I see a lot of grown men out here, but all right. He went out one day to his father among the reapers, and he said to his father, oh, my head, my head. Now, when you look at this, the way it's spoken, he was yelling out, he was crying out, his head was in excruciating pain, so much so that he went out and bothered his father, which was not typical as an adult to say, there's something wrong, I am not right. The father said to his servant, remember, he's elderly, carry him to his mother. And when he had lifted him and brought him to his mother, the child sat. Remember, now we're back to child. I talked to the dads in the dad group. We never stop being dads. We never stop being moms. It's a lifelong call. And here's an adult man sitting as a child on his mother's lap. When he had lifted him and brought him to his mother, the child sat on her lap till noon, and then he died. Now, this is where we see the kind of character. And she went up and laid him on the bed. Remember the... You should get excited. Come on now. You should already be knowing what I'm about to say, right? Is that that woman, out of the goodness of her heart that came from God, she went and built a room for Elisha the prophet. And God said, well, wait a minute. You know what? You're just going to do that? I didn't ask you. I didn't come down and say you need to. I didn't send the lightning bolt. You just did that. Well, guess what that room's going to become? You've always wanted a child, but you won't express it. And you say, we are well. Then I'm going to send you a kid. And that same room that you built for my prophet, I'm going to put your kid in there. This is significant, church. If we would just start making room for him, guess what he's going to do with that room? He's going to use that room. If we start reading the scripture and understanding it, we're going to understand that God is for us because he is love. And so she takes this boy that she didn't ask for, put him on the bed, and then she called to her husband and said, she is no joke. Y'all should see this. Send me one of those servants and one of the donkeys, that I may quickly go to the man of God and come back again. Church, she didn't say, I'm going to go to my vices. She didn't say, I'm going to go to my friends. You know what she said? I got some stuff going on, and I'm going straight to the source. Why will you go to him today? Now, I love this. This is just the pastor side of me. It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. You know what that means? This is true. Like, these are people that know God. They said he is about the business of reaching those that are not with God. We don't have any, we know God. We're okay. I mean, I know he just died, but guess what? We're still okay. We know God. We're going to be with him. And why would you go bother that prophet when it isn't? Now, come, wait a minute. Now, we in America, we say, well, no, my son died. I need to get over there and get up on the... That isn't how he was, and nor was that how she was. Aren't you gonna, you're going to love this. She said, I know all is well. Church, you know what that says? She was at peace, meaning I know there's nothing between me and God. My faith hasn't changed, even though in the second floor my son lies dead. Do you know how deep this is? Are you getting it now? Are you getting how a long time ago God was trying to teach us how to live and how to trust and how to understand his love? Then she saddled this. I love this. She saddled the donkey, and she said to her servant, urge the animal on and do not slacken. Meaning, unfortunately, it meant like, what's the word, whip? Whip that baby and let it go, and don't worry about me because I'll be right there with him. The pace for me, unless I tell you, don't stop. So she set out, and she came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. Now, look at this. Now, you say, this only happened in the New Testament. Nope. This prophet, this man who was connected to God, guess what he saw in the distance? He saw the Shumanite coming. Guess who sees you as you draw into him, as you turn from your situation and turn into him? I don't care if it's a good situation. I don't care if it's a bad situation. I don't care if it's just a situation. When we turn our eyes to God, guess who's already looking? You should say God, right? Okay. When the man of God saw her coming, he said to, I mean, how in the world? He had to have been Gehazi, his servant. Look, there is a Shumanite. Run at once to meet her and say to her, now this is interesting, right? These two got each other because we're talking about two people that were in God. Is all well with you? Is all well with your husband? Is all well with the child? And guess what she answered? Now he included the child in there. The child, remember, is what? Dead. And guess what she said? All is well. She, again, is a wise, wise woman. How many times in the midst of a circumstance do we say to God, all is well? See, she understood the difference between the physical and the spiritual. And when she came to the mountain to the man of God, she caught hold of his feet. And Gehazi came to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. For she is in bitter distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. Then she said, Boy, I love her. This is like, I mean, come on, this is real stuff. She is living out real emotions. She said, did I ask? Now all's well with me. I'm going to be with God forever. One day, if you're with God, you're going to get to know who she is. But she said, did I ask for this? Come on now, she was real. My Lord, for a son. Did I not say, do not deceive me? He said to Gehazi, tie up your garment and take my staff. Staff, Moses, are you with me here? You better hold on to these words in your hand and go. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not reply. And lay my staff on the face of the child. Then the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave. She's no joke, right? She said, oh no, I'm glad you sent your servant, but guess who's coming with me? You. So he arose and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was no sound or sign of life. Therefore he returned to meet him and told him, the child has not yet awakened. When Elisha came into the house, he saw the child lying dead on his bed. So he went in and shut the door. He shut her out of the promise that she didn't ask for. Shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. Then he went up and he laid on the child, putting his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And as he stretched himself upon him, the flesh of the child became warm. Then he got up again and walked once back and forth in the house and went up and stretched himself upon him. The child sneezed seven, if you know your Old Testament history, seven times, and the child opened his eyes. Then he summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she came to him, he said, pick up your son. Instead, she came and fell at his feet, bowing to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. God, again, please bless the reading of this word and the closing of this message. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's talk about her for a second. She said, let's get up on the donkey and let's go. Have you ever said to somebody, it's time to go, it's time to get there, the need is urgent, we've got to get going. And she said, look, don't slow down. Unless I tell you to slow down, keep on whipping that donkey till we get there. Now to me, that's some proactive, right, some proactive movement. And then all of a sudden, we recognize that she is full of boldness. Church, she's about to go before the prophet that represented God. How often do we go to God in boldness? Well, I think we go to God more in boldness when we're living in love and purity, right? We'd be able to go before his throne boldly. Jesus goes before the Father boldly. But then at the same time, we learn about her tremendous humbleness, right? What did she do? Continually fell at the feet of the prophet. Now she did kind of ignore Gehazi, and she said, you don't have to meet me, I'm going to him, so I'll see you later, right? We like our vices and our stuff. When we're in hurt, we want to grab onto all those things, and then we go see God. Well, you know, a lot of times God can't do much once we get a hold of, because then we have to release in order to get to, and so this is very, very theological here. But she goes straight to God in boldness and in humbleness. What does she recognize? Now I'm going fast because we have a lot to go through here. She recognizes that God is the Alpha and the Omega, that he is the beginner of promises and he is the ender all. Does that make sense? I'm making up my own words here. Now she recognizes that as God giveth, she gets it. She also realizes that God finishes what he starts. She gets that God was seeing her. Well, why? He saw her faithfulness. She prepared a room, and guess what God said? Well, then I'm gonna give her a son because she did all this for me. Well, it's not full all the time. Let's make it full, and let's make her life even more full. See, we should know, whether we like where we're at today or not, that God is love, and he wants to work out love in you. So, a couple of things here. I love this, like, I don't know, but she said, did I ask? I mean, I said to you, I'm okay. Like, me and God are okay where we are. You know, oftentimes that's a great jumping point for what's next, right? We're content, we're good, God and I are, and he comes in and says, well, then I've got the next step for you. I was just trying to take care of of God, of God's chosen. Now, what I want you to get here, and this is where I'm being real with you, and I try to be real with you each week and letting you know where I struggle, but as I read this and understood what theologians say, and as you translate the words, she was saying before and after she was well. It translates as she was at peace with God. Whew. Now, you know, we could spend all day just on that. Because before and after, guess what she was? She was at peace. Why is that? Because she was living out total obedience. Meaning the love that she felt towards God, the love that she witnessed being sharing by God's prophet, brought about obedience, brought about continual peace in her life. That's huge. Everything is at peace. In fact, when you look at all and you translate everything, now, if we were to be real with ourselves today, has there ever been a time in your life where you can say, everything is at peace? So this is a nice place for her to be in, right? I mean, this is like, she's like, look, she went to him and stood at the door. Now, you know why she stood at the door? There's a lot of reasons. Her husband's out at the field. You've got this prophet, right? And she had respect. She understood. So she stood at the door. She didn't cross the threshold. Again, when the promise was being revived, she didn't cross the threshold. She gave the boundary, and he spoke to her from inside the threshold and said, and she said, I'm good. I don't need that because I watch my friends with kids, and they are great, but they are also, right? As great as they are, they're a headache as well. Wouldn't you say that? Yes. If you're a teacher, if you got a neighbor, if you know a kid somewhere, as much as they're a blessing, they can also be a headache, okay? Teachers, as you all went back this week, you're probably saying amen. But think about that. She said, I get it, and I'm okay, and everything's well. And he says, no, I'm gonna do it anyway. Now, let's talk about this for a second. So let's get what's happening here. So this happens. She insists. She moves. She goes straight to the source. She goes straight to God. She doesn't go to anybody else. She says to her husband, she doesn't even really give him time to respond. She says, get those servants. Get them ready. Get me on the donkey. And he says, well, wait a minute. This isn't the right way to go to. See, now we get to see this other side of the faith. Like they get. I often... I'm just going to be real with you. The whole experience with COVID and being close to death, I didn't need any of you there next to me. Come to find out you were praying for an intervention that came about, that of which I will never forget, and I'm always grateful. That's a way that you intervened that I couldn't. But when it came down to the reality, I was like, oh gosh, I'm at peace. Why is that? And as I conversed with the Lord, I knew it was because of the peace that he gives us, because of that eternal hope, because of the salvation, because God provides that. God does that. Now think about this for a second. She was at peace over that, but she wasn't happy with it. So I was at peace with what was possibly going to happen, but I wasn't happy about it. When I thought about my kids, I started crying. Like, that's just, right? And so this isn't denying. So you're saying, wait a minute. He doesn't want us to know. See, here's where the grace of God comes in. He's saying, I get it. You're allowed to have her. You're allowed to come to me boldly. But you know how she came to him boldly? Guess whose heart was right before it started going down the street? Guess who was providing for... See, what happens is we don't do any of that, and we run to God with boldness, and he says, are we together? Are you all of a sudden mine? And see, we don't like that part, right? You're not saying amen to that. But see, we expect when we don't live. We expect when we don't, and he's ready to, and oftentimes he's there. A lot of times he's using others to, but think about this for a second. This is where it gets really, there's three steps here of love. And it helps us understand the process of the Old Testament into Jesus, into the Holy Spirit. What does he send first? He sends the staff. In the Old Testament, staff is significant. Staff held power. Gosh, You all play video games, you like get power from certain things. Well, the staff in the Old Testament held power. So what did he do? He sent the staff ahead. It represents the Old Testament. And so it's sent ahead and it's laid on the body. And what happens? Nothing. Nothing happens. Elijah expected something to happen. Well, it was time for Elisha. Now you're going to say, Pastor, you're crazy. Well, we could get into Elijah to Elisha and how it was passed on and how it represents the same thing that Jesus was talking about in John 5:17. Look at the way it lines up and you'll understand this all speaks together here and you'll understand that what's happening here is teaching us this process. Then what does he do? He comes in and he's present with the boy. Now she's not present with the boy. She's outside the threshold. And he lays on and what happens? There's warmth. Represents Jesus. Jesus came to be with the people. But that warmth could only be present as Jesus was present. Meaning Jesus knew that as he left, come on now, let's be real. You say, that's not theological. What happened when Jesus got to the cross? Where'd the disciples go? It says in the scripture, they scattered. And Jesus knew. It's why he kept telling the disciples, one day these parables, they'll no longer be parables because the Spirit will come and live inside of you. The helpmate will come. And all of a sudden, these parables, I won't need to speak to you in parables anymore. I'm going to get to speak to you as the disciples are speaking to you, which is real. See, he used parables because he knew, like, he had to be present with them to see and to hear and to know and to be discipled. Well, then he paced and he went back and laid on the boy. And how do we know this? Well, theologically speaking, in the Old Testament, seven is what? A complete number. Biblically speaking, seven is wholeness. Seven is completeness. And so what happens here is the Holy Spirit brings completeness. The Holy Spirit lets us know personally, experientially, or whatever that word is, we experience what was experienced between the Trinity long, long before we ever. Come on, church, you should be saying amen. Do you see this here? Then all of a sudden he sneezes seven times. And see, when she heard that, you know what she thought? Come on, she was a good godly woman. She knew her scripture. She knew what seven meant. When she heard those seven sneezes, you know what she did? She fell and worshiped first before she embraced the promise. Come on now. You didn't have to teach her because she was already on the. And the boy came alive. Well, there's some other elements to this that are huge that we have to get. And that is that sometimes, and this is where the heartache comes in, sometimes we will be separate from the promise until we get to Jesus. Because see, our completeness is going to come when Jesus receives us. We didn't like that part, right? No amens to that. Because church, sometimes we have to stand outside the door and know that God is love. And so if we know that God is love, we know on the other side of the door, he is working out love. This is where it gets harder. Which means we've got to trust that if we believe that God is love, and it's not just an attribute of who he is, then we're going to know that on the other side of that door, on the other side of that threshold, that God is working out good for those who, yeah, for you. And then he's using you to work it out in. And the end will always reveal the completion of God's love and all of his promises. So I say all that to say, you know what? Sometimes what's on the other side of the door that we can't do anything about is not easy. Do you think it was easy for her to stand outside the door and wonder what was happening in there? If you understand the way that this is written, there's some time here. The body didn't just warm because he laid on for a couple of seconds. He spent time with the boy. And I don't know if you've been on the other side of the door waiting for a promise to come, but boy, does that waiting And you fill in the definition. Because you know how it feels to be in waiting, right? And sometimes that waiting period is until the completion, which is when Jesus returns, when we understand, when we see him face to face, he's going to complete in our mind all those things. And that takes a tremendous amount of faith to let him be God. But if we let him be God, we're actually letting him be love. And if we're letting him be love, then we know that we're loved. And if we're letting him be love, we're going to love whether or not we like. Think about this for a second. What's interesting here is that she shows it before the prophet shows it. But Elijah demonstrates the connection between the love that he knows is from God and how that leads to what he can do through God. Now, I could also say this way. The woman demonstrates the connection between the love that she knows is from God and how that leads to what he can do through what she can do through God. Meaning, she knew that God loved her, and she knew she needed to love the prophet of God. We probably have more confidence in our thoughts about his love towards us, but not how that love leads us to action. Ponder that for a second, right? We're confident about his love. And maybe you're not today. And maybe you need to reread this over and over and over again so that you can see what it means to love with all being well. All right. So we've said a lot today. And I could have said and gone in a totally different direction. I could have done what I do some Sundays, which is walk you through a theological mess and then bring you out on the other side so you see how it translated and how it works and so that you know that that's just who God and what he was created, and it's not an attribute, but it just is who God is. And then you can say back to me, well, you don't know how this church person treated me, how this treated me, and how that, and how if God is love, then how can, and then we can go into, and we can do all that, and we can spend all day on that. But let's just take the simplicity of this today. The simplicity is that this woman knew that God was love. And so she lived out in love. And then she received out of the love God had. She didn't even know she was preparing that room for her future because in her mind she was past that. But all is well. Then her son died. All stayed well. A lesson to all of us. Why? Because she never questioned God's love for her. You say, Pastor, well, you're going like, not Nazarene. You know, I know I'm going a little bit on the, you know, but let's just be real here. We got to get it. Because see, when we live in that kind of love, holiness is an outpouring of that. Then the church becomes a place where it's just, and then God sends in the, so do you see this? So how do you know? I don't want to define that for you today. I want you to understand that no matter where you are or what your circumstance is or what you're going through, that you serve a God, not a pastor, not a person next to you, not a spouse, not a kid, not a student, not a... You serve a God that is love, that loves you, and wants the relationship to be a relationship based in love. Not obligation, not because we should, not because we better do, just because we love. See, when we step out of acting in love, we step into becoming burnt out. Now, I'm not saying tired or worn out, but there's a difference. We get burnt out when we're not in the center of. So think today. How do you know God's love? How do you know it? Is it that you can think back and say, you know what, I remember this moment, this day, this time. And you know what? That reminds me that I know that he loves me. But really think about it. How do you know? Do you live in that every day? Do you know that God just loves you? not because of anything you. And I want you to imagine your mind as you go out today that this woman reverently served the Lord before, during, and after. Her faith wasn't shaken. But you know what? She did say, you know, I didn't really ask for this. Right? Have you ever said that to God? I didn't really ask for this, but here I am. But my love for you hasn't changed. Maybe you're in with the promise. Maybe you're on the other side of the promise. What I need you to do on this Valentine's Day is to go out and know that you are confidently loved by God, because that's who he is. God, today we come before you. And God, we just pray today, Lord, that we would embrace this kind of love, that we would work and serve and live in this kind of way. So today, God, we trust you. Today we love you. Today we're thankful that we're thankful for all those moments that we didn't ask you to pour out, but you did. All those moments where we weren't standing and just saying, hey, but we just turned the corner and there you were. God, we know that we know that we know that you are love and that we are loved. And so today, Lord, send us out encouraged. Send us out knowing that we are loved by God. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for being here today. Make sure that you get your gift as you go out. There's a little gift for you, some candy, sugar you up for this wonderful weather. God bless you all. I've hungered for your love.